Let us pray. Lord, we've been asking you to speak to us. Speak, Lord, in the stillness while we wait on thee. Hush our hearts to listen in expectancy for your name's sake. Amen. We stand this morning on the threshold of a new year with its unknowables and uncertainties. So I want to bring you a word of encouragement. And you'll find it in the psalm that we read, Psalm 139 and verse 5. The words of David. He's speaking to the Lord and he says, "You hem me in behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me." Or as Peterson paraphrases it, "I look behind and you're there. I look up ahead and you're there too. Your recurring presence coming and going." In this psalm, David is overwhelmed by God's intimate knowledge of him. In verse 1 he says, "O Lord, you have searched me and you know me." And he takes the rest of the psalm to expound this in detail. God reads us like an open book. And he knows what's on every page. He sees our movements. He scours our motives. He searches us through and through. He knows our walk. And he knows our talk. He pierces all the little disguises that we use with one another. None of our petty evasions can fool him. And there's no way that we can hide from God, for he's everywhere. In verse 7, David says, "Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence?" He says, "Neither distance, nor darkness, nor death can hide us from God." That's a comforting thought if you're saved. But it's a terrifying thought if you're not. Your only hope is to put all your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. God surrounds us on every side. David says, "You hem me in behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me." One writer sees in this verse an arrested prisoner. Guards are marching in front of him and guards are marching behind him, and he's held in the grip of an officer who walks beside him. But I think that's too strong a picture. David doesn't see himself as a prisoner. At the end of the psalm, he welcomes God's presence in his life. He says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me, and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting." He's glad he can say, "You hem me in behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me." What an encouraging verse for a new year. First of all, God comes behind us dealing with all our yesterdays. God comes behind us, dealing with all our yesterdays. David says, "You hem me in behind." Or as Peterson paraphrases it, "I look behind and you're there." What an influence the past has on the present. Some people find it very difficult to handle. They're tormented by it. They're tormented by it, for its ghosts can haunt us, its shadows can frighten us, and its sins can enslave us. Who can break its chains? None but the Lord Jesus Christ. He died on Calvary's cross to rescue us from our sinful past. So let's surrender it to him, for he can deal with past sins. He can deal with past sins. Sin, like a home impinging, has a way of coming home. If it doesn't come out, it can come up into mind and heart and trouble the conscience. The consulting rooms of the psychiatrists bear witness to that. One of the great blessings of salvation is God's forgiveness, a full and free forgiveness for all our sins. In another psalm, the psalmist says, as far as the east is from the west, so far have you removed our transgressions from us. What a distance! There's a North Pole and there's a South Pole, and we can measure the distance between them. But there's no way of measuring the east from the west. It's an immeasurable distance. As the little chorus puts it, gone, 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 gone. Yes, my sins are gone. Can you say that this morning? Such forgiveness is only possible as we turn from our sin to the Saviour and put our trust wholeheartedly in him. The prophet Micah uses a different picture. He says, you will hurl all our iniquities into the depths of the sea. They're buried at sea like nuclear waste, and they'll never ever surface again. Hezekiah, one of the good kings of Judah, used another picture. He said to the Lord, you have cast all my sins behind your back. Now, if God is behind us and our sins are behind God, then he stands between us and all our sins. He's turned his back on them. My sin, oh, the bliss of that glorious thought, my sin, not in part but the whole, was nailed to his cross, and I bear it no more. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. The capital, God says, your sins and iniquities will I remember no more. He's blotted them from his memory. You might say to him, I'm very troubled about the sin I committed last year. You know, that particular sin. I know you've forgiven me, but it still troubles me. And he'll say to you, what sin? I don't remember it. What a glorious forgiveness God offers us in Christ. Let's surrender the past then to the Lord, that he can deal with past sins. And he can deal with past failures. He can deal with past failures. We all blunder through life at times and make a mess of things. But over all our failures, we can write the words of Romans 8:28. Paul says, we know that in all things, failures as well as successes, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. On the island of Guernsey, there's a stately old parish church. Visitors go and see the church, often picnic in the grounds, roundabout, and they leave behind broken pieces of glass and china. And for many years, a monk followed after the visitors, and he gathered up those pieces of coloured glass and china and made a magnificent mosaic of them. It still adorns the wall of the island's old church. God does something like that for us. He comes behind us, gathering up the broken pieces of our lives and fitting them into the mosaic of his purpose for us. He did that for Simon Peter. how tragically he failed. He denied the Lord with oaths and curses. It broke his heart, but the Lord used it to teach him a new dependence on him, and he chose him to preach the Pentecostal sermon. No failure in the Christian life need be final. So let's surrender the past to the Lord, for he can deal with past sins, he can deal with past failures, and he can deal with past wrongs. He can deal with past wrongs. Not many of us go through life without getting hurt, without being wronged in some way. That's one of the risks of close fellowship. The closer we get to one another, the more likely we are to hurt one another. But none of us are perfect. When I was a boy, I was taught sticks and stones may break my bones, but words won't hurt me. That's not true. Words can hurt, and hurt deeply. And these hurts can fester in our hearts long after they've been committed. I've seen it happen. I've seen it in the church, and I've seen it in family life. Fellowship can only prosper where there's forgiveness. Paul makes that very clear at the end of Ephesians 4. He says, get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other. So, just as in Christ God forgave you. One woman had harbored a grudge against another person for years. And when at last she really faced herself and her sin, bringing it out into the open, she said, I have a mental cancer. That's exactly what it is. I beg you, don't carry any grudge or hurt or resentment into this new year. Ask the Lord to extract any bitterness from past wrongs and fill you with his love. Surrender the past to the Lord, for he can deal with past sins, past failures and past wrongs. God comes behind us, dealing with all our yesterdays. And then too, God goes before us, preparing all our tomorrows. God goes before us, preparing all our tomorrows. David says, you hem me in behind and before. Or as Peterson paraphrases it, I look behind and you're there, then up ahead and you're there too. What an encouragement. For if some people are haunted by the past, others are troubled about the future. What if this should happen? What if that should happen? Are you worried about the future? Then let me assure you that if you're a child of God, your future is in his hands. I know not what the future holds, but I know who holds the future. Our future may be hidden from us, but it's not hidden from the Lord. As the psalmist puts it in Psalm 142, when my spirit grows faint within me, it is you who know my way. What a terrible time Job had. He was battered cruelly by the storms of life. But he says about the Lord, he knows the way that I take. And when he has tested me, I shall come forth as gold. So the path that stretches before us in this new year is a prepared path. It's a prepared path. Paul gives us a hint of that in Ephesians 2 and verse 10. He says, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. That suggests a prepared path. The Lord Jesus leads us like an Eastern shepherd leads his sheep. He would never lead them where he had not first been himself. Wherever they went, they were following a prepared path. In John chapter 10, Jesus says of the shepherd, he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. He goes on ahead of them. Let's bind that thought to our hearts as this new year unfolds. The future is not like a stretch of unmarked sand. There's a set of footprints in it already. For the Lord always goes ahead of us. Whatever we experience, the Lord Jesus has been there before us. Our path may wind through dark valleys and gloomy glens, but the Lord has certainly been there before us. Hebrews 4 and verse 15 says, of the Lord Jesus, he's been tempted in every way just as we are. He's been there before us. He's been tempted in every way just as we are, yet without sin. And the next verse says, let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. Joseph Parker, in one of his hymns, says, enough. This covers all my wants, and so I rest. For what I cannot, he can see, and in his care I save shall be forever blessed. Another hymn writer says, all the way my Saviour leads me, cheers each winding path I tread, gives me grace for every trial, feeds me with the living bread. The path that stretches before us in this new year is a prepared path. And it leads to a prepared place. It leads to a prepared place. Every tomorrow in this world brings us closer to that eternal tomorrow in the next. Are we ready for that? There's only one way to get ready, and that's to put your faith entirely and wholeheartedly in the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you done that? Have you turned from your sin to the Saviour? For he said to his disciples, I'm going to prepare a place for you. We can't plot it on a map, for it's in a different dimension. But it's as real as any place on earth. Indeed, it's more real because it's eternal. Jesus said to his disciples, I go and prepare a place for you. I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. And this ties in with some words in Jesus' great prayer in John 17. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me. And to see my glory. And to see my glory. What a prospect. But most of us, if we're honest, are apprehensive about death. We don't like to think about it. A young boy who was terminally ill asked his mother what it was like to die. Does it hurt? He said. With tears welling up in her eyes, his mother knew exactly what she should say to him. She said, you remember, Kenneth, when you were a little boy, how you used to play so hard all day that when night came, you'd be too tired even to undress. You'd tumble into my bed and fall fast asleep. But that was not your bed. It was not where you belonged. And you'd only stay there for a little while. In the morning, much to your surprise, you'd wake up and find yourself in your own bed, in your own room. You were taken there by someone who loved you and took care of you. Your father came to you with big, strong arms and carried you away. Death is just like that, Kenneth, she said. We just wake up one morning to find ourselves in the other room, our own room where we belong, because the Lord Jesus loved us and died to save us from our sins. The boy's shining, trusting face looked up into hers and told that mother that the point she'd made had gone home. There'd be no more fear, only love and trust in that young heart as he went to meet the Father in heaven. He never questioned his mother again. And several weeks later, he fell asleep, just as she had said. The path that stretches before us in this new year is a prepared path, and it leads to a prepared place. God comes behind us, dealing with all our yesterdays. God goes before us, preparing all our tomorrows. And God walks beside us, enriching all our todays. God walks beside us, enriching all our todays. David says, you have laid your hand upon me. And Peterson, in his paraphrase, talks about God's recurring presence. David's picture suggests his closeness. It suggests his closeness. You have to be very close to somebody to put your hand on them. Again and again in his word, God promises us his presence. It's one of his most glorious promises. In Hebrews 13 and verse 5, he says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. As we move into this new year, we can count on God's unfailing presence every moment of every hour of every day. As the hymn writer puts it, moment by moment, I'm kept in his love. The Lord is with us when we serve him. At the end of Matthew 28, Jesus said, go and make disciples, and surely I will be with you always, to the end of the age, to the very end of the age. And the Lord is with us when we're sad. In another psalm, the psalmist says, he heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. Again, you have to be close to somebody to bind up their wounds. The Lord is with us when we serve him. He's with us when we're sad, and he's with us when we suffer. He's with us when we suffer. At the beginning of Isaiah 43, water and fire are used as pictures of suffering. And the Lord says, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. Whatever this new year holds of service or sadness, or suffering, or anything else, we can always count on God's presence with us. He's promised it, and he never breaks a promise. David says, you have laid your hand upon me. That suggests his closeness, and it suggests his control. It suggests his control. In verse 10, David says, your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. In Psalm 73, Asaph discovered that God's hand was upon him. But for that, he would have lost his faith. For he was troubled by a very real problem. He had a problem that almost overwhelmed him. A problem that many people have today. Asaph says, I envied the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. Asaph himself had been trying to live a godly life and having a hard time. Yet the wicked were, those who had no time for God, were prospering. It seemed so unfair. Asaph began to lose his faith. He says, my feet had almost slipped. I had nearly lost my foothold. But why almost? Why nearly? Well, he gives us the answer later in the psalm. He says, I'm always with you. You hold me by my right hand. Or as David would put it, you have laid your hand upon me. God is in control. He always is. He always is. And Asaph realized that although the wicked were prospering, their prosperity wouldn't last. He says, surely you place them on slippery ground. You cast them down to ruin. How suddenly are they destroyed, completely swept away by terrors. But if we're God's people, he walks beside us, enriching all our todays, and the best is yet to be. David says, you have laid your hand upon me. That suggests his closeness, his control, and his care. It suggests his care. God's hand pictures his power in our lives. He can support us and strengthen us and sustain us. In his love and mercy, he can meet our every need and help us in every situation. We're so weak in ourselves, well, we can draw on his strength. By faith and prayer, we can draw on his strength. A little boy was helping his father with some building work in the garden. And his father sent him indoors to get a bag of cement. He hadn't realized how big it was. But the boy was trying to carry it. He was almost bent double under his weight. When his father saw him, he said, why don't you use your full strength? And the little boy was most indignant. He said, I am using my full strength. His father said, no, you're not. Or you'd have asked me to help you. The boy's full strength was not in himself, but in his father. And when his father came and helped him with the bag of cement, they carried it without any real problem. Our full strength as Christians is not in ourselves, it's in the Lord. As Paul puts it in Ephesians 6 and verse 10, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. That's how to face this new year. God's hand is upon us, and he can take care of our frailty, our foes, and our future. As Augustine put it, trust the past to the mercy of God, the present to his love, and the future to his providence. David says to the Lord, you hem me in behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me. Let's make it personal. God is behind me, dealing with all my yesterdays. God is before me, preparing all my tomorrows. And God walks beside me, enriching all my todays.